accent made this. We gon' run up the check, run up the tab, run up the bill, run up the bag. Welcome to another episode of Business Fumbles, where we discuss all of your business mishaps and mistakes. I am your host, Sheila Williams, and today's guest is someone that I've been knowing for over 14 years. So we're going to let him introduce himself.
All right. First of all, thank you for having me on. This is great. I've been looking forward to this. So my name is Mike Waters. Grew up in Southern California. You know, I was an athlete my whole life. When I got done with college, I started a business helping high school athletes get scholarships. That was basically the whole mission. So now for the last 21 years, I've been chasing the dream in entrepreneurship and business and ups and downs. And here we are today with multiple businesses that I own, operate, you know, just all of it, man. I just love entrepreneurship. So this obviously is a great conversation for me to come in and hang out with Sheila, who has been holding me down for about 14 years. So definitely looking forward to it. So that's it, man. That's it in a nutshell. I'm just a guy.
I know. I had to have him on here because, you know, I've been knowing Mike for 14 years. Me and him sort of been working together, you know, on our different, you know, projects.
Yeah.
And I know for a fact that his wealth of knowledge will help, you know, my audience, because being an entrepreneur is not easy. So I want to, you know, start off by asking you the first question. Mm-hmm. You know, you touched on it a little bit by saying that you were into sports. But so obviously what you decided to open, you had passion behind
it. Yeah, 100%.
So can you tell them how passion worked with it, but what was required other than that?
Yeah, for sure. You know, even now when I help entrepreneurs and when I'm coaching or doing anything along those lines with entrepreneurs, I love to start with passion. You know what I mean? Because entrepreneurship is very difficult. A lot of people see the glitz and glamour. You on IG, all you see is the cars and all the jets and the money. You don't see the behind the scenes. You don't see the work. You don't see the ups and downs. You don't see the multiple times that you done lost it all and built it back up. No one really shows that, right?
Right.
So I always like to tell people, start with passion, because passion can be the fuel to get you through the ups and downs. So with me, it was a sports background, so I was passionate about that. So all the ups and downs of the journey, I was able to really just keep fighting through it because I believed in what I was doing and I was passionate about it. So I've always been a big fan of passion being first and then figure out profit. You know what I mean? That's just been my theory.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing that I do know about you is that passion is there, but man, the care that you have for each person. You know, you trained me.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But you put a lot of passion behind it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are missing that.
Yeah.
How do they tap into that?
I think you have to really, like you said, the passion should give you that care, right? Because if you're passionate about something, you want to elevate it. You want to take it to the next level. If you love people, like if you're in a people business like I am, it's a lot more than training for me. It's a lot more than, you know, nutrition and stuff like that. Even when I'm dealing with my athletes, I look at it as overall. I want to develop each person completely. So I want discipline, character, mindset. You know what I mean? I want all of it in there. I'm just hiding it in sports, or I'm hiding it in training. But in reality is I'm vested in making everyone a better person. You know what I mean? And I think just by having that mindset, you start to look at the bigger picture instead of just the tool. You know what I mean? The tool is just what got them in the door, but it's the bigger picture that you're really trying to accomplish.
Right. And I'm so glad that you brought that up, because now we're going to touch on the cost, you know, because you give so much.
Yeah.
And usually, especially like when you're setting up your business, I'm sure one of the first things that you did was look at the standard, you know, pricing for things. How did you go about to price your stuff, knowing that you're giving a lot more than other people out there that's doing the same thing?
Yeah. And I think, you know, luckily, and I'll say, I call it lucky, it's two things that I think that really helped me in the beginning. Number one, I was fresh out of college. you know, so I didn't have anything anyway. So it didn't matter. You know what I mean? If I had $2 for two tacos at Jack in the Box, I was good to go. You know what I mean? So I didn't require a lot. So I did get lucky in that standpoint. The other part was my industry was fairly new at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, now if you have an athlete, you can find so many places for them to work out, for them to train. Back when I started, there wasn't a lot of people doing it. So I was able to really come in kind of grassroots and have really introductory offers because I knew I had to prove myself in a sense. And then, so that first year, 2 years, I was charging $100 a month, $150 a month for a service that I knew was worth $500, $600, $700. But I had to really get into the market and I had to get results. I had to have parents and athletes be like, I want to work with him. And as we did that, we just slowly increased the price. Yeah. So now the same price that was $150 a month back then is now $600, $700, $800 a month today. And so that's really was the progress. So I think for any entrepreneur, my thing would be don't be afraid to start at a base level knowing that you're going to increase as you progress. Right. And you'll get more confidence, more testimonials, more results. You'll learn your system better. So don't be afraid to just start to get your foot in the door. And then just don't be afraid to raise your prices.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As you progress. So I think that's, you know, a good strategy for anyone that's just getting started.
Yeah. And something that you touched on, where you said it's okay to start one place and know that you're gonna, you know, move it up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But can you elaborate a little bit more on like the time? Some people mistake, you know, they feel like they start their business, they get a few customers and they take off and say, oh, well, I'm going to increase my, you know, each person that comes in, they increase the price or things like that. But you made an interesting point. You talked about the time because you started off one way, but it was time. So I wanted you to discuss that aspect of it on the time.
So it's a couple ways that I look at it, right? So it is time-based. And a lot of entrepreneurs, they do get way ahead of themselves. You know what I mean? You come in and your price is this today, and I call you 2 weeks from now, the price is doubled. 3 weeks from now, it's tripled. And it's like, dude, what are you doing different in 30 days that has changed your entire pricing model? So I looked at it two ways. I looked at it, one, I was humble enough to know that I had to continue to develop. So there's no way I could raise my price ahead of my development. So as I got better at what I was doing, more structured at what I was doing, which takes time. I'm talking about year 3, year 5, year 7, then I was able to progress. And then another like simple strategy that I like to use even today is I look at, you know, this is kind of getting to the numbers, I guess, at the end of the day. So I look at how many people come in, right? How many clients, for example. I look at how many have consultations. I look at my current pricing and I look at how many actually sign up. When that number is about 80%, which most people at that point would be like, oh, I'm the greatest salesperson in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm closing 80% of my clients. No, that's usually a good sign that your pricing's too low because a great closer still only wants 40 to 50% close rate. Yeah. So I would look at that. And even with Phase One Elite, for example, the first year, our pricing model, first actually year and a half, our pricing model was where I started. So for example, our barrier to entry was $500 a month. Mm-hmm. Right. So I started looking at the numbers and now we're closing 8 out of 10, 9 out of 10. So I just moved it up. And now that same number is $650 a month. So I moved it up $150. And now our close rate is still about 40 to 50%. I'm OK with that because the numbers have determined that it was time to increase the actual price. But if the numbers didn't dictate it, then I'm not going to do it because my ego is big and I think I should be making more money. It has to make sense. So whatever strategy you use, for me, it was self-development as I got better. Phase One Elite facility, for example, state of the art, recovery, real high end. So that requires a higher price, right? And then the sales is kind of the other factor that I use. When everybody that walks through the door hands you their credit card in 5 minutes, you got to look at the pricing and say, I might be a little underpriced because they're not even thinking about it no more.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's just kind of my little two strategies.
And that's so true because I experienced that too. I had a lot of people coming through the door simply because of other people saying, oh, she only charged me this and she only charged me that. But now this year, people walking out the door, they were like, man, this is a lot. You know,
I'll
like,
or
this, you know, or like your prices seem like they doubled or something like that,
yep.
You know, and my response is, you know, like if you go to someone else, what are you going to pay? I just had a new person yesterday and I asked that question and they said about the same. Okay.
So what are we doing?
Right. Mm-hmm. You know, so you're so right at that. Yeah. But my next question to you is, you have so much knowledge and experience at being an entrepreneur. If you were starting out or you were talking to an audience that was coming in to being an entrepreneur, what would be the first three things you think that they should make sure that they do before they even start?
Yeah, I would make sure that they free up, and this will be, I haven't heard anyone say it the way I'm going to say it. Make sure they free up time. Mm-hmm. Because I think a lot of entrepreneurs come into the game and they think it's going to be a little easier than it is. And they have too much noise, you know, whether it's relationship, whether they're not stable financially, whether it's, you know, whatever that looks like. So they just don't have the time to invest the energy that it takes to be successful. And then in a year, all they know is the business didn't work. Well, did it not work or did you not invest enough time? Right. So I would say analyze first, make sure you have enough time to be able to build a business, because it's very, very time consuming, right? Very time consuming. So that's number one. Number two is market analysis. I would study whatever that industry is. When I first came into the quote unquote fitness industry, even though it was through sports, I studied everything. I mean, when I say I read every article, I tried to get so many certifications because I just wanted to be an expert. I wanted nobody to know any more than I did. You know what I mean? And I wanted to be able to answer every question that any client had when they walked in. So number two would be to really study and break down the numbers. Understand it. You know what I mean? Understand the business. And then number three, patience. You got to just sit. You got to just work, man. You can't. It's almost like I'll use social media, for example, right? You get people, and I'm guilty of it too. You get people on social media, they'll post a video today or a picture today, and then they look, man, it only got this many likes. So tomorrow they don't post.
Yeah.
And the next day they don't post. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, what was your expectation? Did you really believe that you were going to post this picture on Instagram and all of a sudden there was going to be 5,000 likes?
Right.
How did you, where'd you get this expectation?
Yeah.
And so I use that as an example, but so many entrepreneurs come into the game and that's the expectation from day one. I'm going to build this business. You got your projections. You got your numbers. Yeah. If I get 100 clients at $10, then you start doing all this math. You're like, I'm going to make $20,000 a month. And da-da-da. And then next month you make $400 and you're like,
what?
I don't know if this is working. You know what I mean? I tried. No, you didn't do anything.
Like, right.
You know what I mean? So I think it's just the patience, the perseverance. I think that's where the passion comes in. Mm-hmm. But those are the three that I would say that can kind of get you rolling. You got to have the time to build. You got to have the time.
That was good.
You got to have the time. and if you're in a relationship, you talk to whoever that person, sit them down. Don't just be like, I'm going to start a business. What you think?
Yeah.
No, sit them down. Be like, hey, I'm about to be MIA.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's times where I go days where I barely see my fiance at all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Just because I'm traveling and I'm working. And by the time I get home, they're going to sleep. So it's a lot of time. And whoever you're in a relationship with, they have to understand that and they have to accept it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If not, it's going to be conflict.
Oh, that's so true.
You know what I mean? So you have to.
Sometimes, though, you can do that and end the relationship. They don't really accept that. They don't agree with that.
Yeah.
So what do you do at that point?
Well, I mean, and that's, you know, it's hard. And hopefully you're not in a relationship with a person like that. But I think a lot of people make the mistake of not communicating up front. You know what I mean? Because you got to think about it. If it's two people in a relationship, one is entrepreneur, one is not, we think totally different. My brain works totally different than hers. I mean, opposites. Everything I think is creative, entrepreneurship, growth. You know what I mean? I'm looking at numbers, meetings, Zooms, and she goes to work and then clocks out and comes home and chills. And you know what I mean? We good. Two different mindsets. So I think where people make the first mistake in relationship, they don't sit down. Like me and her sit down. Like we have a meeting. Not a casual, we're watching TV. Hey, what do you think? No, hey, look, this is what I'm doing. Like, for example, when I open Phase One Elite, hey, I'm opening this gym. I'm investing a lot of money. It's like starting over. I'm going to be there 50, 60 hours a week. It is what it is. I just want to let you know and make sure you're good with it. Yes, I'm good. I support you 100%. I get it. I can roll.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. if I didn't take that time, now 6 months in, 3 months in, or you're never home, all you do is care about the gym, all you worry about, no, we talked about it. So mm-hmm. if they're not into it and they don't agree when you have the conversation, you got a decision to make. That might not be the person you're supposed to be with. I don't know what to tell you. You picked the wrong one. I don't know. I mean, I'm just telling you, I don't know personally. Yeah. But you know, that could be it. I mean, I really feel like the person that you're with plays a big role in your success. I believe that wholeheartedly. And the cool part is it doesn't matter what the role is, but it has to be a positive role. Wow. It has to be a supporting role. Even if they're not in the business, they got to be supportive. They got to understand it. If they are in the business, then they'll probably be even more inclined. Maybe they're helping you out. Maybe they're helping with the books or whatever their role is. But they have to support. It could just be taking care of the home.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a level of support. Because if I'm not worried about the home and all the things that go into that, then you're freeing up time and space for me to be successful. Yeah. So no matter what, that person has to be supportive or else it's probably not going to work.
Yeah. And I think too, you know, I love every point that you made because that's something that I struggled with in my relationship. And we also have to really like look at what that support is. Because mm-hmm. like, sometimes you're being supported, but the other person looks at it like, nah, that's not support.
Yeah.
You know, that's holding me back.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have to sort of like know what type of support that person mm-hmm. can give.
Yep.
Like in my husband relationship, he feels that there's no off button for me. And that's true.
There's not.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, there is no off button. Right. Let me just say that clearly.
But he wants it. And even my doctors tell me, you have to have an off button. You know, you have to have an off button. But mine is, you know, like you said, it's never going to turn off.
Yeah.
But my mind is the same way. Mm-hmm. I feel idled if I'm not doing anything.
Yep.
So his point is, well, you're going to be 100 years old and you're still going to be in school. Well, what's wrong with that?
Okay.
That's who I am.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm stepping out there and I'm doing things. So I think for you, it's easier because we as women, you know, we want to be taken care of, you know, like we want our own.
Yeah.
But at the same time, we want to be able to say, if something happened, I got my man at home. He can do
level
it.
Of security.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's easier, but for a man, it's sort of harder because they want to be the provider. They want to, you know, I don't think he has a problem with me if I was making more money.
Yeah.
It's just that there's no off for me. And with him, it's like, well, wait a minute, you know,
what about
I have an off button.
Yeah.
What about me?
Yeah.
So, you know, mm-hmm. I can really appreciate what you were saying because that's something that they have to realize.
Yeah.
When you're telling them to consider that and put it on the table in the beginning, that's something that you should do because I didn't.
Yeah,
and you know,
it's conflict.
Mm-hmm. But you know, we're working through it.
Yeah, of course.
Because we got other things within our life.
Yeah.
He has me, and with me, you know, it's not my choice of what I'm gonna do.
Yeah,
I'm gonna always follow God's laws.
Yeah,
so he has that as a benefit to him. So.
Yeah.
Nobody's going nowhere. Mm-hmm. We just got to work it through.
Yeah.
But wonder if you don't have that, like you said.
If you don't, it's difficult. And I'll give you two things or two ways that I look at it, right? Because even though she agrees, there's still, you know, we mm-hmm. still come into conflict just like any other relationship. So there is no off switch, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I used to think there was. I used to try to find it. You know what I mean? I done tried to click it. It don't work. It just don't work. Our brains are wired the way they're wired.
Yeah.
But it's why some people are entrepreneurs and some people are not. It's mm-hmm. totally fine because there's days that I wish I could turn it off. There's days that I wish I can walk up to the little box on the wall, put in my little ID pin and clock out. Out for the day. 5:01 5:01 p.m. I'm going home and I ain't thinking about y'all until 9 a.m.
Right.
But I can't. So mm-hmm. I learned to use the dimmer switch mindset.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where I could turn it down and then there's other times where it's hot. But when I use the dimmer, I try to communicate it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these next couple of weeks are going to be rough. Like, for example, right now I'm in like a little traveling window. I've been all over in the last couple months. it's up high. Hey, I'm going to be on the road. I got this trip. It's all in the calendar. Here's what it looks like. And then now she understands it. She could prepare for it.
Right.
She's not being caught off guard. But then there'll be a window of time, I'm sure, this summer that I turn it down. And now mm-hmm. I'm at home more. I'm yeah. chilling more with my daughter. You know what I mean? I'm just spending yeah. more time. Yeah. So I think as entrepreneurs, we have to be conscious of the switch. The switch not going off.
Yeah.
But treat it like a dimmer. Just turn it up when you need it and then just adjust it. And then the second thing that I had to start doing, and I won't even take credit for it, this is all her. Now we have to, or we put in the calendar our time.
Mm-hmm.
We have to literally put it in the calendar. Like, as crazy as that sounds, but you think yeah. about it, as an entrepreneur, you go off your schedule.
Yeah.
Like, when we set up this, I was like, it's not in my calendar. So I was just confused. I didn't even know where I was supposed to be. I don't know anything. Uh-huh. It's the calendar. But now I'll put in there, hey, we're date night, or we're going out on this night, or I want to do, you know what I mean? So I think being conscious of it too will help that balance in that relationship where they don't feel too neglected because you're just out being Superwoman and changing the world, or Superman changing the world, and they just at home like, well, I guess I'll vacuum again. Well, another night of dinner alone, but okay. Yeah. You know what I mean? So, yeah.
And that's an important step.
Yeah.
That calendar. You know, if you're out there, make sure you put everything on the calendar, because I use mine now. I overuse my calendar.
Yeah.
I even put on my calendar, like, seriously, I have, like, my study night for, you know, my Bible study night. Mm-hmm. It's literally on my calendar. Every morning, 6 o'clock, read this. You know, it's literally everything written out. You know, I have to spend 15 minutes reading this or doing this. Mm-hmm. It is literally on that calendar.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now sometimes when my husband sees my calendar, he says, dots everywhere. How am I going to, you know, fit in there? But
find an empty spot.
Yeah. You know, but it's very important, because when you don't use a calendar before, I wasn't using a calendar. I had people showing up. Like, you gave me an appointment.
Yeah.
Like, no, I didn't.
When? Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. You know, so it keeps you organized. So that calendar is really good.
It's very important. And here's what I always look at. People don't understand. A lot of people don't understand the difference between busy and productive. Right? I spent so many years in business, especially them first 10, just busy. Just all over. Yeah, I'm there. Go over there. Meeting over here. I'm just all over the place. And then I get home and I'm exhausted. And I wake up the next day like, what did I do yesterday? I didn't even accomplish anything that really affected the business, that really swung the pendulum in a positive direction. I was just busy.
Yeah.
And now I'm exhausted. And now by Friday, I could barely get out the bed because I'm just exhausted. And I had to really start looking at it like, okay, why am I so tired? And a big part of it came down to, I'm busy. I wake up and I'm busy until the time I go to sleep, but I'm not productive.
Yeah.
And until I started using the calendar on a day-to-day basis, now I put in the calendar what's going to be productive, not just busy stuff. Because you think about it, it's easy to get distracted. But if you wake up, like you said, and that calendar says you got this meeting, you got this, and then you got to complete this, and then you got this website, whatever you got to make. You know what I mean? Like, now you're like checking off boxes as you go throughout the day instead of just running around, you know, like a chicken with your head cut off and then trying to figure out why you didn't get nothing done and you are exhausted.
And the funny part about it is,
I
just started doing that.
Oh, wow.
I've been in business since 2015.
Yeah.
So that time that you were talking about, you know, and that's why we're talking about these things now, because if you start off doing it, it's going to save you so much of a headache.
So much.
Man, I done spent, I don't know how many hospital visits where my stress is over the top and all of that, because like you said, you're all over the place. Yeah. Everybody's pulling at you and everybody wants something. And one thing that I did really, really bad for years was I was always available for everybody.
Yep.
I took everybody's phone calls.
Yep.
I even on the weekend, I would call. They would say, hey, I need this, you know, and I would get it. You know, even when I was on vacation, remember, you called me, and I'm on vacation.
Don't be trying to blame me. Don't be trying to blame me just because I'm sitting here. I need that edited out. I feel like that was an ambush and I'm not excited about it. So I need, what do they say? I need that omitted from the records.
But my point is that I just was available for everybody every time, and I never took any time for myself.
Sure.
And when it became a reality for me. And, you know, my kids were like, okay, there's got to be changes.
Yeah.
And it was a lucky thing that I had my daughter in the business, because she's like, look, this business is important to me too, because yeah. you're my mom. And I work from 8 to 5.
Yeah.
At 5 o'clock, I don't answer nobody's emails. That's I don't good. Answer my phone. Yeah. I don't do anything that. Mm-hmm. They and she says, you have told everyone but that they do not have to respect your time.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all on you. So changing that and using that calendar mm-hmm. is just like you said. Like, I'm even learning that I have a business. I built the business. Mm-hmm. Let the business do what it needs yep. to do. It doesn't need me.
100%.
Doesn't need me.
Yep.
I can go out there and I can do other ventures.
Exactly.
And I can finally see that mm-hmm. I can step out and I can do other things like you.
And everything going to be okay.
Right, and everything yep. is going to mm-hmm. be okay.
Yeah, and that's difficult too. And I had it explained to me like this, and this was 3 years ago, 4 years ago, and it still took me another 2 years to accept it and process it, right? It was explained like this. I was telling one of the business coaches that I've worked with for years. Her name is Anna Seifert. And I was telling her, like, it's time for me to kind of pull away and focus on other things, but I keep finding myself back in, like, in deep. And she's like, well, first of all, you got to give yourself a little bit of grace, right? Because I was frustrated about it. Like, why do I keep getting pulled back in? It's like going back to the same relationship that you know didn't work. I'm back. We're back. Let's try it again for the fifth time. It's yeah. going to work this time. You know, I just felt that because I was being pulled to where it was time to expand and do other things. So she said, the first thing you got to understand is you started at that point. I was 17 years into business.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, the reason you feel like that, she said, equate it to raising a child. This child was born in 2003. Which is your business. You built it, you babied it, you developed it, you did everything from the marketing, the sales, the train, you did every area. And now this child is 17 years old. It's time for this child to do what? Grow up.
Grow up.
But as a parent, if you hold them back, will they ever become the adult that you want? And I was thinking about it. I'm like, you know, and at this time, I didn't even have a kid. So I was really trying to, like, process it in my head.
Right.
But it made so much sense that that's a part of why I was so hesitant to release. Because yeah. it was my baby. I started mm-hmm. the baby. So I, you know, birthed the baby. So at the end of the day, that conversation really helped me to release. And the best part about releasing as an entrepreneur is you get to see the business from a different perspective. You get to see little stuff that, you know, you come in, like, now I go in the facility, I'm like, dang, why is that right there? Like, I would have never noticed this when I was there every single day of the week.
Right.
You know what I mean? But now you're more creative. I call it the bird's eye view. Mm-hmm. You can sit up and watch the business operate and see what's, oh, okay, we need to fix that system. Hey, why are you guys doing it like that? Oh, we need to change that. How about we do it like, you know what I mean? Yeah. You can see it. But when you're there day to day, all you're doing is working.
Yeah.
You know, so I think it's important once you get to a certain point to really, like, change the perspective for sure.
Yeah. And that's exactly where I'm at. And I see that. I've seen so much because yeah. I've worked with different businesses, you know, in different areas. And before I became an entrepreneur, I sort of like ventured out and I did all kinds of jobs,
yeah.
all kinds of industries, you know, even like doorman salesman.
Yeah, yeah.
I did all of that because, you know, I wanted to get an understanding of it. But one thing, you know, that I can appreciate about your story is that you started off with phase one, like you knew that that was your baby. And you wasn't that type that leaped in and said, okay, I want to have this going on and that going on and this going on. You did it after, you know, it's been a years. Talk about yeah. that.
I mean, really, and I'm glad you said that. But I will be, you know, transparent on it. I still feel like I was still doing too much a lot of that time in those early years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think as entrepreneurs, we get caught up in the whole 7 streams of income and all, you know, anybody, any guru, any wealthy person, you need 7 streams of income. So we start 7 businesses tomorrow. All the businesses start Monday. Like, what are you doing? You know, and I think I was a victim of that mindset as well in the beginning, because mm-hmm. even when I started phase one, the first 3 years, I was locked in. And then after that, I start venturing, mm-hmm. you know what I mean, into whatever, whether it was network marketing, whether it was just all over the place.
Yeah.
And then the growth of the business, you know, it stopped growing. Mm-hmm. Then over time, I started to realize, like, man, the more energy and effort I put into this one business, the more successful it's going to be, right? And then I started breaking down and analyzing other business owners. And even though they tell you 7 streams of income, because that's a big thing.
Yeah.
Even though they tell you that, what they don't tell you is 99% of them started with one major stream.
Yeah.
Right? So if you look at whoever, you know, Elon Musk, he's got all these businesses. But guess what? He built the first one. And was worth $500 million. And then he went to space. And then Tesla. And then, but we look at it and go, look what he's doing it all. Stop. And that's, stop it.
You know, and a lot of times they just get that. You know, the people run with the things that they see on the internet.
Yep.
And that's what it's like. We have, you know, like think about it when, I know when I was growing up, we didn't have a lot of the things that we have now. So you literally had to do the research to find those things out.
Yeah. Yep.
It wasn't just following what someone says. Yeah. And we've gotten away from that.
Yeah.
We've gotten away from, to the point where, you know, they're sharing you a video that they done seen talking about, you know, slavery is coming back in 2 years or something like that. And everybody is like, you know, on the, you know, on the fence about it. Like, oh, my God, this is about to happen. When did we become where we don't look at the sources and do the researches ourselves? Mm-hmm. When have we become that?
Yep.
You know, and so a lot of entrepreneurs that's coming out now, you know, they're making bigger mistakes than we made.
Yeah.
Because they're believing all of these little, like, little skits and things like you said.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, he has 6 businesses. He's a multimillionaire. But you haven't done the research to find out that he started one.
Yeah.
And he created all of that. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's something right now that I'm dealing with. Because I'm at the point now that I can venture out.
Yeah.
You know, because it's built. I see it. Mm-hmm. But what I had to choose is that I know me. So I still had to make a decision to create that.
Yeah.
With the same thing as passion.
Yeah.
Because I know that I'll continue to go. And everything that I've done so far is still coincide with what I'm doing now.
Yeah, still attached.
So I can leave here, but I'm still doing the same thing. Yeah, and I can easily come back.
You're still in your lane.
Right. I'm still in my lane. Mm-hmm. So I do love and appreciate, you know, that.
Yeah.
Even though it's time for me to do that. Mm-hmm. And I really like how you talked about, you know, your coach talking about, like, it's your baby and you're letting your baby, because even at 17, 18, your kids are always still going to come back home.
Yeah,
they still going to still need your advice or something like that.
Yep.
But it's different than rearing them.
Yeah,
you know, giving advice and giving direction. Mm-hmm. That's the point that we're at.
And that's
where
we're
can give advice
and
give direction. Mm-hmm. But we still can go out there.
Yep.
100%. But again, people, it takes years. This is not something that happens overnight.
Yeah.
You know?
look at social media. This is to entrepreneurs out there. Look at social media as a tool. Look at Google as a tool. Look at ChatGPT, whatever you're using, as a tool. Not as the end all, right? Because the difference is, when we started our business, we had to research. We had to dive deep into learning this and learning that. Even mentors, even people like, you know, I'm a big fan of like Jay-Z. I've been a fan of Jay-Z since his first album. So watching him grow, I used to do research even on him, because I looked at it like he's kind of like a mentor from a distance. I researched the start of the business, the fails. I looked at how they marketed when they first. So I did all that. I didn't just wait until he was a billionaire and then went, he's the guy. No, how'd you get there?
Right.
What's the story? And I think now with social media, we're not looking at the story. We're just looking at the result. And that's the biggest trap ever, because when you see the result, you start to naturally compare.
Yeah.
I should be there. You know what I mean? To the point where even when I see someone successful, and granted, right, it doesn't work all the time, but a lot of times I'll even Wikipedia and just to see like their background and what other businesses. And then I'll look at their age and everything. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, he's 54 or whatever the number is. I'm like, okay, he's 9 years ahead of me or whatever. You know what I mean? Because you have to put it in perspective or else you'll go crazy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know, the, what is it? Comparison is a thief of joy. Yeah. You know what I mean? At the end of the day. So be careful not to compare.
Mm-hmm.
Do the research. Whoever it is, your role model, inspiration, go back. Go watch their old videos and see where they came from, and it'll start to make more sense to you.
Yeah. And I put that point, that very point in my book when I was talking about the vintage artists that went out there and they sold those CDs on the streets or whatever. Yep. But then after they did it, one did it, there was millions of them to follow.
Yep.
And out of that million, how many of them actually gained that success?
Yep.
And that was because that's their story. Create your own story. Right. You know, like you said, it's okay to follow someone else's footsteps. But you have to also remember that worked for them. It might not work for you because it's been done already. So you have to always look at that, you know, create your own story, become, you know, use that, use it to your, like you said, it's a tool. Use those tools. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, tools are only there to tighten things up or to screw something or whatever. It's not for for it to be the whole build on, like you said, you know, and people have to understand that.
Yep.
But now I wanted to touch on how do you, you know, talk to them about finances? How do you manage your finances?
Mm-hmm.
Because and being an entrepreneur, there's roller coasters.
Yeah.
You have money. Sometimes you don't have money. Now you're trying to figure things out. And then when did you get to the point where, okay, now I really understand my finances and I'm not going to do this because it's going to, you know, hurt me over here.
Yeah.
How long did it take you to get there?
Probably maybe the next 3 years from now. I'm not even all the way. I'm thinking I should be there in about two to three years. So let's talk about that. But no, on a serious note, finances, I've made it a priority to learn as much as I can about money.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Because, you know, where I grew up at and my family, don't get me wrong, we weren't Section 8 poverty stricken, you know, but it was, you know, I would say middle class, lower middle class.
Yeah.
We had, you know, we had all the basic necessities, but, you know, we didn't have a lot of financial literacy. You know what I mean? I remember, you know, my father's business, he had a trucking business. I remember him going from 6 trucks to basically back down to 1. And a lot of it was just, he didn't understand business. You know what I mean? It just wasn't, he didn't understand that part of it. So my point to that is I had to really start looking at money differently, right? Because money is meant to multiply.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's meant to do. It's not just meant to sit. It's not meant to just be spent on cool vacations.
Yeah.
You got to multiply it. So what I started doing a few years ago is actually, I guess, I don't know, almost 10 years now. A percentage of the money has to go into security.
Yeah.
It has to go somewhere that I do not touch it and I act like it does not exist. If Rome is burning, guess what? It's going to burn with that money hitting over in the corner. You know what I mean? Because you have to have a level of security because we are entrepreneurs. There's no retirement plan. There's no, you know, what they call 401k unless you create your own.
Yeah.
And then you're just paying into your own. So reality, you're just saving again.
Yep.
So there's no Social Security that it's just not going to be there.
Right?
Because we're on this mission. I've been in business 20 years. If I would have worked a job for 20, I would be ready to retire with the pension and all kind of cool stuff. But guess what? If I stop my businesses tomorrow, the money stops tomorrow.
Yeah.
So I think having a level of security is your number one priority. And when you're starting, it don't have to be a lot. It could be 10% of your revenue.
Yeah.
Put it in a completely different bank, completely different savings account, completely different vehicle, and then act like it's not yours. Don't worry about the login. You don't have access. Don't set up no Zelle. Don't set up nothing. Just let it sit. And then from there, now you're able to make better decisions with the money that you have because now you have that layer of security.
Right.
And I think a lot of entrepreneurs, especially when you're young, you don't create that layer, and now everything is a life or death decision.
Yeah.
So right now I have a not a huge level, but a level of comfort to know that I can make a decision that might be a little risky, but I can say, you know what, I'm going to try it anyway because I know the security's there.
Yeah.
And I take pride in knowing that if all, you know, my businesses, if all of them fail tomorrow, if they all, I got an email said everything ends tomorrow at 5 o'clock, I would still be able to pay bills. I would still be able to take care of my daughter. We wouldn't lose the house, at least not no time soon. You know, I'd probably have about 12 months to get it back, get my life together. But the point is, the security is there to at least give you that level of comfort. And one, that's great for, like you said, if you are in a relationship, that's good for your other person, your significant other, to know that even if this, if I blow this, we'll be fine.
We're cool.
You know what I mean? So I think that's important, whatever that means to you. You know, when I was first starting business, I was fresh out of college. I remember when it was just about when I had $500 in my savings account. I was like, oh, cool. You know what I mean? Like, it's $500. I remember when it was $1,000. I'm like, oh, can't tell me nothing. You know what I mean? And then it went to $3 and then to $5. Yeah. But that was the goal, was just to always have that. So I think that's what I would say would be the starting point. And then you get into the deeper stuff, the investments and real estate and all that other stuff. But in the beginning, you just got to get good at saving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's a good point, because when COVID hit, how many businesses was affected?
Yep. 100%.
Because they did not do that. Mm-hmm. You know, they did not have that cushion. And I remember going through it and listening and seeing how my clients was operating.
Yeah.
And I was just like, okay, why I'm in this situation? Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm looking.
Yeah.
And it was because
I
had that cushion over there, and I never even thought about it.
Yeah, you had the stash.
You know, So it helped you get through it. So it's very important when you're an entrepreneur to start off that way.
Yeah.
You know, putting that to the side. Because like you said, you don't have a 401k unless you're creating it yourself. Your Social Security, if you're just starting off and you're on a Schedule C, you don't have Social Security.
Yeah.
I have a person that did hair all of her life.
Mm-hmm.
And when she did her taxes, of course, she was more interested in the tax refund, you know, versus knowing what that self-employment tax that she was paying was.
Yep.
Well, now she can't do hair, but she can't draw Social Security. So she had to pull just disability, and that's $900 a month. That's all she got. And now she's older. She can't go get another job. And on top of that, she has health issues. So she has to live off of $900 a month.
Crazy.
No savings or none of that. Because, you know, you're an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. You feel like you're making money. It's my money. I want to spend it the way I want to spend it. And you don't think about those things.
Yep.
And that's something that you have to think about. 100%. You should, you know. So, you know, next topic I wanted to get into is employees.
Oh, you saved the fun stuff for last.
Yeah. So let's talk about that. Being an entrepreneur and getting to that point where you had to hire people. And how difficult is it for you now?
Yeah, it's easier now. Mm-hmm. But it has been very, very difficult over the years. And I'm going to tell you, as an entrepreneur, you always take responsibility. Let's start with that, right? Even if you hire someone and they just end up being the worst employee ever, who hired them?
You.
Who you mad at? You know what I mean? Who you mad at? You mad at them? Who you mad at? You hired them. You know, so I would say that's where I would start, is accountability. But here's what the mistake I was making early on. I was hiring people to replace what I didn't want to do, and then not providing them guidance, structure, and training for them to be successful, and then being frustrated that they're not executing it the way I want them to.
Yeah.
Right? So it's a crazy dichotomy if you look at both sides. I'm saying, I don't want to do these five things or whatever that looks like for their you know, hiring pack. Like, you're hiring them to do A, B, C, D, right? Because I don't want to do them. You know, every entrepreneur will tell you, you got to hire people to do the things you don't want to do. And you're like, okay, that sounds like a great plan. But what they don't tell you, once again, back to social media, what they don't tell you is you have to train them and put them in a position to be successful. You have to really spend the first 3 months, 6 months, really teaching them every little step of the operation. You know, you should have a manual in place. You should have a SOP, standard operating procedures, in place, because that's the only way they're going to be successful.
Right.
I was bringing in people, hiring them, and telling them, hey, I want you to do this, 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 and then disappear for a month and come back and be mad. Like, what is this? Why'd you do that?
Yeah.
And they like, oh, I thought, but you have to look in the mirror once again. So I think in my scenario, when I got better at training and creating the right expectation,
yeah,
it got way better. Like my staff right now is great. My Phase One Elite staff is great. My Amazon DSP staff, my dispatchers are doing great.
Yeah.
But it's expectation and then it's accountability.
Yeah.
That's the second piece. Every person that you hire, you should have some form of accountability in place, whether it's once a month, every quarter, whatever that looks like for you. But you need to be able to sit with them and say, now let's evaluate how you're doing.
Yeah.
Because in the beginning, I was just hiring you, worked there for a year, and we never met again. You know what I mean? We never sat down and really determined, how good are you at what you're doing?
Yeah.
What areas can you improve? And you start looking at big corporations. That's why they do what? Reviews.
Yeah.
90-day review, this review, 30-day probation. They do all this stuff. Why? Because checks and balances.
Yep.
They want to make sure that everybody on this payroll is executing at a high level.
Yeah.
In small business, we just hire them, say, this is what I want you to do. Good luck. And then in 3 months, we say, yeah, I don't think it's a good fit. How do you know it's not a good fit if you never really set to explain exactly what the vision is? So I think that's the key for me. So now it's gotten a lot easier, but over the years, man, I've been very frustrated with a lot of employees. You know, and some of it is on them.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people that carry a high level of entitlement right now.
Yes.
Come in and think that they're going to work for 3 weeks. And then just like we talk about raising your prices. Yeah. I've had employees, they there for 2-3 months and they like, hey, can we talk about a raise? I'm like,
yeah.
A raise for what? What are you raising? You didn't even.
I get that same thing.
What have
man,
you done?
You're hitting
you haven't
it.
Done anything yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? So there's some of that, you know, that you got to deal with. But I think it's really cultivating the relationship, creating the expectation, and then keeping them accountable. That's
yeah. And along with that, what about the outside people when you go and you hire professionals?
Yeah.
You know, so now it doesn't require, it shouldn't require you.
Yeah.
To put that much input, how do you deal with that?
I think it's the same. It's different, but it's the same. Any professional that I've hired outside of, you know, day to day, I'm hiring them to do a task. I think where we get stuck at is we hire professionals and we don't outline or really sit and take the time to understand or to communicate exactly what you want.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So every professional I've hired that works, you know, with me right now at this time, it's literally specific bullet points.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like I have a VA that just does social media. She literally does one thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's her gift. That's what she loves. That's what I hate. You know what I mean? So
right.
It works, but it's the expectation because I know exactly what I'm getting in return. So it's easy to assess the relationship and the value.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I pay X for this.
Mm-hmm.
I pay X for Z.
Mm-hmm.
It's easy to determine if I'm getting it or not because you only have one or two tasks that you're responsible for. So if I go to my social media and you haven't posted in 3 days, that's what I'm paying you for. Guess what? It no longer works. I got to let you go. Why? Because we had an agreement. You do this. I pay this. But in some relationships, we bring in professionals and we expect either we expect so much or we don't have an expectation. So we have nothing to judge whether it's beneficial or not.
Right.
Is this good? Is this bad? I don't know because I don't know the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
What did we decide? You know what I mean? So I think in the beginning, like when I interview professionals, I go through at least 3 interviews.
Mm-hmm.
And the interviews, I want to know what you're passionate about. I want to know what your gifts are, what your skills are. And then once I know that, I decide if that fits what I'm looking for.
Right.
And then when we set the agreement is for A, B, C, period.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to ask you to do, if you love social media, IG and all that, I'm not going to say, hey, can you do my newsletter for my email list?
Yeah.
You might say yes, but if you're not good at that or you're not skilled, and now I'm looking at the newsletter like, I don't even like, what is this? You know what I mean? I'm like, you sending this to all my people? And they're like, well, you just wanted me to do it. That's not your gift.
Right.
I'm going to go find somebody.
I agree with you. It should be set up and it should be a clear understanding.
Very clear.
And if that understanding is not there,
it
just doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And it's okay if it doesn't work, you know. But I do say that you have to review those things and not let it get out of control. Because when you're an entrepreneur, sometimes we always throw money at the problem.
Yeah, that's usually our solution.
We throw money at the problem and then we leave it.
Yep.
And then we come back And then we're saying, well, the problem is not fixed, but I'm still paying. Mm-hmm. And now, again, who yep. you mad at? Yep, you the one
mad.
Who did it.
Mad. And my,
you threw money at
my
it.
My business coach, current business coach for Amazon, for my Amazon logistics, mm-hmm. name is Tim. Shout out to Tim. So Tim, in January, we had our meeting. Mm-hmm. And he was like, I'm going to tell you your number one problem, right? And I'm like, mm-hmm. let's hear it. He said, you don't inspect what you expect. So you don't find out something's bad. Until it's bad.
Yeah.
Because there's no, you're not inspecting
yeah.
what you told them you expect from them. And when he said it, it was the clearest voice I've heard where I'm like, damn, he's right.
Yeah.
I just tell him, hey, I need you to do this, this, this. And I sprint. And I yep. never even look over my shoulder, let alone turn around. I never even glance back. And then when I find out it's not being executed or it's not being done or it's not being done to the scale that I expect, now I'm frustrated, I'm mad, I'm ready to fire everybody, I'm going crazy, the Zoom is on fire, I'm just hot. But then I got to look in the mirror and go, when's the last time you inspected this?
Yeah.
So.
But you could get that way even when you expect, because I'm always that person. I'm really, I don't know why it is with me. Mm-hmm. I can start something. But I have 1,000 things going on, but I'm mm-hmm. still watching. Mm-hmm. And I'm saying, this don't sound right. And I'll just send a quick,
yeah.
you know, message to, you know, mm-hmm. say, hey, what about this or that? And then, too, I have a lot of people, and I'm sure you do, too. You have a lot of people that's in your corner that's been watching you for a while. So then when you're starting to get those emails like, hey, man, I seen this. But why didn't you do this or that? And you're looking at it like,
yeah,
that makes sense. And so you have other people that's mm-hmm. helping you
yeah,
to review those things. But at the same time, every entrepreneur, including myself, has done what you said.
Mm-hmm.
We feed it and we say, okay, they say that they know what they're doing. Yep. I can trust it. And we walk away. We disappear.
Yep.
And then we come back. And just because we're getting a little feedback that things yep. are working out, what do? We jet off.
Yep.
And then by the time we really sit down to inspect what's been going mm-hmm. on,
yep.
it's out of control.
Yeah. No, it is. And one thing that I do a lot of that I started 2 years ago now, right about 2 years ago, we're the visionaries, right? We're the entrepreneurs. We have the vision. The problem with so many entrepreneurs is we fail to communicate the vision, and not just fail to communicate it, but often enough, most of us don't communicate it at all. Yeah. We just have the vision of where we want to go, what we want to become, how it looks, and then we think we're hiring these pieces, but they don't even know the mission.
Mission, yeah.
It's literally like filling up a freaking helicopter with a bunch of soldiers, and they have no clue where we're going, yeah. no clue what we're up against, yeah. don't know what weapons to bring, don't know anything, and then we land, and we're like, you guys ready? And they're like, what are we doing? I get it. We're about to land, yeah, but what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I've learned that you have to communicate the vision mm-hmm. and you have to communicate it often because yep. it's your vision.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to hear it in the interview because that's what I did for years. In the interview, I would tell them, I want this. This is what we're trying to build. I want the best performance training center. I want the blah, 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 blah. And I'm giving it to them. And they're like, I love it. I'm in. They're all fired up. And then 3 months later, they just working.
Yeah.
The fire is gone. But why? They haven't lost necessarily the motivation. They lost sight of the vision.
Yep.
So let me give you the team meeting.
Yeah.
Remember what we're trying to accomplish. Mm-hmm. This doesn't fit. You know what I mean? Now it's like, okay, I get it again.
Right.
So I think we have to share that vision early and often.
Often, yeah. Like when I was going through school, that was one thing that they had us do. We had to choose corporations and look at.
Yeah.
How they structure things yeah. or whatever. And I always, you know, I was given. Yeah. Like, I didn't get to choose yeah. my company. They gave me McDonald's.
Okay.
And so breaking that down and yeah. digging into that, it because their mission
yeah.
was put in the will. They wow. have a will that they created.
Oh, wow.
And everybody that comes in, all they do is follow that will.
Period.
Now, the will might change colors. It doesn't change direction.
Yeah.
It just changed colors. Mm-hmm. And everywhere, in every single country.
Yep, exact same.
There is the exact same. They had to adjust their menu going into different, you know, countries yeah. and stuff like that. And then they lost when they dealt with different cultures because they had that will,
but they
didn't investigate or they didn't, mm-hmm. you know, do the research about the culture.
Yeah.
And they failed at it then, but it didn't stop them. They just kept the will. Then they left and then they came back mm-hmm. after they learned that culture and they did what they had to do to get it. But I always look at that. Mm-hmm. And that's what now I'm at that point where I'm trying to create that will with what I got going on now.
Yeah, that's good.
Is creating that will so that when I do leave, I don't have to come back to a mess.
The wheel's turning.
Yeah, it's turning, you know. Mm-hmm. So we have reached our hour, you know, and so I want you to, you know, look at the cameras, but speak, you know, to our guests on what you feel are some of the things that they need to do before they even possibly start their own business. A lot of them are just starting them because everybody else is starting a business. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of advice can you give them before they step out there and they just do that?
No, that's good. That's a good one. So right off the top, be transparent with yourself, right? What I mean by that is everybody wants to be an entrepreneur, but everybody is not built to be an entrepreneur. And here's the cool part. That's okay. That's fine. You know what I mean? I tell people all the time, if I wasn't built to be an entrepreneur, I would love to be at the Bellagio and director of marketing, making $250,000 a year, driving my Ferrari and staying in the panorama. Like, I have a whole vision of what my life would look like. However, I'm an entrepreneur. I can't help it. I can't turn it off. I've tried to turn it off. It does not go off, just like we talked about early. So if you have that kind of mindset, like that level of passion, like for business, you know, think back when you were little, because a lot of us, we had it when we were young. You know what I mean? I was the one trying to sell the, you know, little chips and sauces and lemonades and all kind of random stuff. I was the one when me and my friends got together, we all put in our money and I would count it and be like, we could buy this. And like, it was just what I did. I've always done it even before I knew what I was doing. Right. So if that's a part of your story, whatever that looks like for you, then I think you are built to be an entrepreneur and you will be fine. You will be successful if you're willing to commit to it and be patient and continue. But if that's not a part of who you are, don't feel like you have to start a business because it's cool or because everybody's saying you should. Oh, you're good at this. You should do that. No, because I know people that are very successful that are entrepreneurs, meaning they work in big companies.
Mm-hmm.
If you're a dope graphic design artist, for example, everyone's like, start your own graphic. But guess what? You could probably go work for a freaking Tesla and do all the design for them and be a millionaire without the stress. And you get to go home at night and you're not worried about the overhead because Elon Musk takes care of that for you.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Like, don't feel like you have to be an entrepreneur. If you're passionate about it, you desire to be, I'm with you. Join the party. We're here. It's a long road. I tell people it's the longest roller coaster you've ever been on. What do roller coasters do? They drop, they're down, they're round, you're lost, you're confused, you're dazed, you're excited, yeah, you're mad, let me off, put me on, slow it down, speed it up, this is a roller coaster.
Yeah.
Think about it, when you go to Magic Mountain, you have no control over that roller coaster. You have an idea of what the ride's going to be like, you have an idea of how fast it's going to go, you have an idea how long it's going to take to climb, you have an idea, but you don't know, until that person hits that button and it takes off. That's what entrepreneurship is.
Yes.
So it could be the most beautiful, most difficult, most exciting, most beneficial, most depressing, most energetic, worst experience of your life. So if you want to join the party, I'll see you in Entrepreneurship 101. If you need a coach, I got you because I'm going to talk you through it.
Wow, that is great. That's what we, you know, that's what we needed.
Yeah.
You know, so again, thank you guys. I thank you so much for joining us. I'm thanking everyone out there that's listening, that's watching. And, you know, this is, if you are an entrepreneur and you have a business, make sure that you, you know, hit us down below, request to come on, because we want people like you sitting in that chair. Yeah. Because, again, knowledge, education, experience is worthless if it's not shared. So we want to be in the sharing spirit, and we want to help one another to reach, you know, to that next step. You know, I always look at, you know, entrepreneurship as climbing steps. And sometimes when you climbing those steps, just imagine you don't worked out and you don't had leg day. And you going up those steps, you know, it'll be easy if you have someone there to, you know, cushion each blow that you stepping up. And then you have gratification on every step that you take. And that's what we want to do. We want to give you some, you know, gratification for the steps that you take, make you feel good about each step.
Oh, that's big.
You know, and not feeling like you're not reaching anywhere. So, you know, tune in next week. We'll have another episode. And hopefully, I'm hoping one of you guys will be sitting in that chair next.